Toxic algae is nothing new to the Great Lakes. Just think Lake Erie and the Bay of Green Bay. But the last place many scientists expected to find the harmful stuff is in Lake Superior. That's because it's cold and deep and mostly surrounded by forest, not agriculture. Its runoff fuels toxic algae. But sporadic blooms have appeared in Lake Superior, mostly along its southern shore. This summer, a slew of scientists are converging to try to figure out why and whether science can help control what so far has only been an occasional nuisance. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz has the story.
It's a calm, clear morning in Ashland, Wisconsin, along Lake Superior's southern shore. Water scientist Matt Hudson and a couple of his Northland College students are heading out to gather water samples in Shawamigan Bay. They'll sample each site six times over the summer to try to figure out what makes for a welcoming environment for toxic blue-green algae. One of Hudson's tools is a long tube-like instrument stocked with sensors.
We just lower this thing with this cable down into the water, and it gives us a whole profile of water quality from the surface to the bottom.
To the west, off the shore of Cornucopia, UW-Milwaukee researcher Todd Miller is lending his expertise to the Lake Superior research effort.
My lab does toxin analysis, but we also do real-time monitoring using data buoys, and that's what we're out here to do today.
He and his students designed and built the system Miller is deploying off Myers Beach, one of the most popular spots within the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. That's where I meet National Park Service aquatic biologist Brenda LaFrancois. She points out Todd Miller's buoy bobbing in the bay.
It's kind of a little yellow guy right out there. Yep. The real great attribute of this new buoy that's been deployed is that it is generating data in real time. In fact, I just checked my phone right before we chatted, and the water temperatures are warm. They're running around 18 plus degrees centigrade. It's recording also indicators of how much algae is in the water and how much cyanobacteria is in the water. So we can look at that in real time. And I could, for example, if those numbers were starting to climb, I could go up and tell the ranger, hey, it looks like the numbers are creeping up for algal biomass. Maybe it's a good day to keep an eye out for any kind of surface scum.
LaFrancois is an upbeat type, but she's dead serious about harmful algae. Cyanobacteria, commonly called blue-green algae, have a variety of looks, including resembling pea soup. Some types, not all, can produce toxins dangerous to fish, wildlife, pets, and people. LaFrancois watches a crowd of kayakers wearing safety vests get a quick tutorial before paddling into the sparkling open water. She says they would not have wanted to paddle here 3 years ago after a huge storm hit.
People down here were reporting green-colored water, surface scums on the water, all the way from here at the Myers Beach kind of launch point over toward the sea caves area to our east. It lasted probably 7 to 10 days, and it stretched over probably almost 100 miles of lakeshore.
6 years earlier, a bloom popped up and quickly dissipated. LaFrancois said she was among the scientists who wrote it off as a fluke, but the 2018 event, she says, set off a wave of sampling and research. This summer, more universities, state, and federal agencies are prodding and poking Lake Superior. The biggest push has come thanks to the Cooperative Science and Monitoring Initiative, a program funded by the EPA. Scientists know nutrients, especially phosphorus, feed blue-green algae, allowing it to grow. But LaFrancois says they haven't yet figured out what would make the harmful algae found in Lake Superior switch on its toxin production.
It differs a little bit for different species, and unfortunately, we don't know what makes this one go boom.
Bob Sterner's lab at the University of Minnesota Duluth pivoted nearly all of its research energy to Lake Superior's algae issue in 2018. Right now, latex glove students are analyzing Matt Hudson samples from Shawamigan Bay. Next, they'll head out to gather samples from other streams, shoreline areas, and rivers. Sterner says researchers concur. Climate change is driving Lake Superior's blooms.
We just have a higher likelihood of really, really big storms now than we did. And so, if all of this is right, the lake was sort of on the edge. And then it warmed up enough, and we got these big storms, and that just kicked it over the edge. And now we're seeing these phenomena. That's what we think now.
Sterner hopes building a body of scientific data can help pinpoint areas where conservation programs can reduce the risk of algae-fueling runoff.
Though we just can't shy away from the fact that if climate is an important driver, That's a global problem. And we're not going to fix it here in Duluth or Milwaukee or, you know, only as part of the Earth system.
Since my trip to Lake Superior a few weeks ago, a couple of new small algal blooms have been reported, one near Duluth, Minnesota, and the other one near the mainland sea caves of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Susan Bentz, 89.7, WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.